Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. From the heart of the Missouri Ozarks, it's the Gilbert House Fellowship Old Testament Study for Sunday, October 23rd, 2016. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we are so glad you've chosen to join us this morning. We're doing the Old Testament Study right now, and if you wonder what our schedule is, you can go to gilberthouse.org, gilberthouse.org, and in the right-hand column, you'll see upcoming studies, and in the left, top left, just underneath the picture of Sam T. Doxson, you can see subscribe to GHF. And that way we can send you an email anytime there's a new post, because even though we try to do these every Sunday, we occasionally miss.
Yeah, like last week, that was, to be honest, it was a bit selfish on my part. Wanted to go up to St. Louis to watch a Cubs playoffs game with our daughter. And
said, it's a good kind of selfish, though, because you were making memories with your daughter.
Yeah, had a wonderful time. And of course, the Cubs won. They're in the World Series for the first time since 1945. And they have not won in 108 years. So we know that come Game 7, heavens will open and Jesus will return just before the Cubs clinch. So I'm pretty convinced of that. It's a metaphor, you know. Cubs fans, like Christians, not supposed to enjoy ultimate reward in this life, you know. So, but we shall see. Next week's going to be an interesting week, and if you see me posting to Facebook and Twitter and
in all caps
and sounding like an idiot, you'll realize that it's just a once in a lifetime thing. So, just please, I just beg your indulgence at this point. Not in the you know, sense of having to pay for the indulgences.
No, and we're so glad we don't have to do that. But, you know, it's you and I were talking before we came in to do this, and that was in the movie Armageddon. Mm-hmm. There's a scene where Max, who is going through his psychological examination to go to space with him,
they're testing.
Grabs the mic.
Yeah, they're asking him a bunch of silly questions, and finally, just grabs the mic and starts doing a Harry Carey impression. The Cubs win the pennant, and actually, they finally did it. Armageddon was released when in 1999, I think. So it took a while.
Something like that.
And of course, there was the famous prophecy. We'll use that in air quotes in Back to the Future. Two, was it, or three? I forget which one.
Oh, yeah.
That predicted in 2015 the Cubs would win the World Series. That was that was about 1985 or thereabouts.
Well, see, there you go. Yeah. And 1 year off.
Yeah, I just missed by a year. So that's not bad. That's better than most. Well, anyway, today we are back into the Proverbs, Proverbs 19 through 24. This morning, our New Testament study finished up the Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, which had some really interesting stuff in there.
Some good smackdowns.
Some good smackdowns, some good teaching on reconciliation, and some condemnation for super apostles.
Super apostles. Yeah, good grief. It's like a Marvel comic.
Yeah, exactly. That was really interesting that he used that phrase, or a phrase that was translated as that, into English. So you'll catch that in all of the archives at gilberthouse.org, and you'll find a link in the top menu bar that says Bible Study Archive, and they're divided into New Testament and Old Testament, going all the way back to Genesis 1:1. So before we get into the Proverbs, we'll open, as we always do, with a word of prayer. Father, we come to you in prayer, wherever and whenever we are, to ask you to guide us as we hear your words. Father, we know that you've preserved these for us for a reason, that there is nothing in your word, in the Bible, that under the guidance of the Holy Spirit wasn't considered important or essential for our instruction. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to hear and learn, to absorb your words and, Lord, to rightly understand them, so that we would add nothing to your teachings and delete nothing from them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. By the way, really quickly, I just wanted to say that we've had a couple of people who recently, just out of the blue, sent us support for what we do. And we try not to ask for that. We don't even have a button on our website because of that, because we don't want to appear that we're doing this for
financial
donations.
Gain, right.
That is not
absolutely.
But we just want to say thank you. Won't name you because we didn't ask permission ahead of time to ask to mention names, but you know who you are. And honestly, it means more than you can imagine to us, because we are grateful to the Lord for it, because Again, we're not in this to make any money, and oftentimes we don't. But that's not why we're doing it. Right, our rewards are elsewhere.
And what we get out of these weekly studies are you know, more than I think people realize. Mm-hmm. We pray that you're getting something from this, and sometimes we get a little silly, and you know,
we always get silly.
That's true. But it's not because we take this lightly. It's because mm-hmm. that's the relationship that we have, but it's also the joy that we have. Knowing that God has all this under control. There are definitely difficult times that are ahead, and there are those who are human agents in this world of the principalities and powers who oppose God, who want to destroy those who follow him. We understand that, and we know that there are times that and places in the world where right now, as we speak, where that kind of pain and suffering is being endured by brothers and sisters in the faith. So we do understand all that. So if there are times when we come across as being lighthearted or perhaps not as serious as the situation may seem to warrant at times, again, we do understand it. And there is a day coming when Christ will return and all tears will be dried and hurts put right. And then vengeance will be exacted on those who have rebelled against God and those who have sought to pervert justice, to oppress the widows and the orphans. There is a day coming when those who seem to be getting away with murder literally in this earth will face the ultimate judge, and they will have no legal defense, none that will save them. So just, I don't know why I felt led to put that out there, but just know that while we're laughing, that we do so only in the joy that comes from knowing salvation through Jesus Christ, the restoration that we have received through faith in him. But we know there is a deadly serious war that is taking place out there, and we're all a part of it.
Mm-hmm. We are on a battlefield, but you know what? It's like when Elisha prays that the servant's eyes will be opened to the mighty army mm-hmm. that is standing with him.
Right.
Elisha wasn't worried. Because he could see it. He knew they were there.
Right.
And when the servant saw it, that's surrounding us now.
Yeah, the chariots of fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, with that all said, we will get into this week's Old Testament study. Again, all in the book of Proverbs today. Proverbs 19 through 24, yes.
Yeah, 20. Okay. By the way, in case you, again, if you just recently joined us and started listening to these, we use the ESV. It's a good word-for-word translation, and it's pretty easy to understand, even, you know, modern English speakers, and that's what you and I are,
mm-hmm.
if you speak English. Most of us don't speak, you know, Elizabethan English.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about that, the King James was translated 400 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. A long time ago.
Right. And I know that there are some who insist that that is really the only legitimate English translation. I just say, you know, we take the translators of the KJV so seriously that we follow their advice to use multiple translations to mm-hmm. get at a better sense of
it. Exactly. So, well said.
Yeah.
And we also do this, by the way, in chronological order. So mm-hmm. that is why we seem like we're skipping around.
Yes. But it gives us a really wonderful insight into things that were happening at the time mm-hmm. that certain scriptures are being written. So,
yeah. Gives context to it all for me.
Proverbs 19, beginning at verse 1. Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Another way of saying, look before you leap, or haste makes waste.
Hmm.
When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord. Yeah, how many of us want to accept that our own mistakes are our own fault?
Not one of us.
Yeah. Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend. When you're having tough times, that's when you find out who your true friends are.
Yeah, that's true.
A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. Many seek the favor of a generous man, or of a noble is how the word mm-hmm. could be translated, of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. All a poor man's brothers hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but does not have them. Whoever gets sense loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will discover good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish.
That's a repeat of the one up top.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
This was verse 9.
Clearly, that's something he wanted to get across.
Sure. Verse 10. It is not fitting for a fool to live in luxury, much less for a slave to rule over princes. And I guess that was the view of a slave back in the day. They had a different view of slavery.
Oh, yes, very much so.
3,000 years ago than mm-hmm. we do today. It doesn't have the same racial connotation that
it does in America.
In fact,
very often it wasn't so much that I've gone and I've grabbed somebody and forced that person to serve me. It's really more of a servant,
mm-hmm.
not a slave. You were a servant, and sometimes it was indentured servitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so probably not the best way to live, but better than you might think.
Yeah, and the point here is not that slaves didn't deserve to rule over princes. It's that in that era,
mm-hmm.
and this is, you know, we will say from time to time, just as a reminder, that we need to try to understand the scripture from the perspective of those who wrote it, the guy who wrote it. And considering this was written 3,000 years ago, or thereabouts, roughly 3,000 years ago, by Solomon or someone soon after Solomon, we have to try to understand how they viewed a slave in that day and age. And the commentaries that I read indicate that it was just considered so unlikely that a slave would come to rule over princes. That was the point. They were they were pointing out how absurd it would be for a fool to live in luxury. Somebody who was foolish would not come into that kind of money because he would be squandering it or wouldn't have enough sense in order to.
Well, that happens all the time, doesn't it?
It seems to, but again, that was the point of that proverb back in the day. Verse 11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense, or turn the other cheek, as it were. A king's wrath is like the growling of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass, which again, in an arid area like Judea, would be really refreshing, really helpful. A foolish son is ruin to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain.
Chinese water torture.
Yeah. House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord.
Mm.
That's a good one. Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. As Paul wrote about 1,000 years later, he who does not work, neither shall he eat.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever keeps the commandment keeps his life, but he who despises his ways will die. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. As Jesus said, as you did to the least of these, my brothers, so mm-hmm. you've done to me. Whoever is generous to the poor, okay, got that. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death.
Okay.
Maybe the intention there, meaning that if you discipline your son today, it will keep him from doing something so reckless and foolish tomorrow that he winds up risking his life.
And that's true. Yeah. Raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Right. A man of great wealth will pay the penalty, for if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again. Yeah. What is this to me? I'll pay the penalty. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand.
Why do the nations rage and imagine a vain thing?
Right. What is desired in a man is steadfast love, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I'm really hungry, but I'm just too lazy to
feed myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So feed me.
Well, yeah. And in a sense, we see some of that in our own culture today. Mm-hmm. You owe me.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I go with them who will not work, neither shall they eat. He who does violence, strike a scoffer, and the simple will learn prudence. Reprove a man of understanding, and he will gain knowledge. He who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A worthless witness mocks at justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Condemnation is ready for scoffers and beating for the backs of fools.
Proverbs 20, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Alternate translation, will not become wise. So don't do that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you can't have the occasional drink. It doesn't mean that. It's that we're talking about in excess.
Right.
Wine is a mocker, those who drink a lot. Strong drink a brawler. If you're at the pub all the time.
Right. You're not acting in a sensible way.
Right. The terror of a king is like the growling of a lion. This was in the previous one. Whoever provokes him to anger forfeits his life. Don't poke the lion in the snout.
Right.
It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. Talking heads. The sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing.
And in the autumn was a time in the Holy Land, in Israel, when you plowed. And of course, if you don't plow, if you don't sow, you're not going to reap. So, yeah.
The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find.
I will die for you, Jesus. I don't even know the man.
Yeah. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. And that's so true. You affect many generations with your righteous walk, men. You really, really do. A king who sits on the throne of judgment winnows all evil with his eyes. That's really interesting. And winnowing the grain is something where you would take a big pitchfork or whatever and throw it up into the wind, and the chaff would be blown away. So he's blowing away the evil, I guess, with his eyes.
Interesting.
With his judgment. Who can say, I have made my heart pure, I am clean from my sin?
Yeah, it's a rhetorical question. The answer to that, of course, is no one.
Unequal weights and unequal measures are both alike an abomination to the Lord.
Yeah, this doesn't say that making a profit is an abomination, just doing it unfairly.
Exactly. Yeah. Even a child makes himself known by his acts, but by whether his conduct is pure and upright. Alternate translation, even a child can dissemble in his actions, though his conduct seems pure and upright. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Now, that I don't know if that is a reference, something that with reference to what we've talked about a couple of weeks ago, and that is the Apostle Paul talking about within the body of Christ, arguing over who gets to be what. But the Lord made all the body parts. And just because you're not happy being a hand and you would rather be a mouth or an ear or an eye or a foot, God made them all, and we all have our jobs. Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will have plenty of bread. In other words, he who will not eat, will not eat. Bad, bad, says the buyer. But when he goes away, then he boasts.
Basically, this is
worthless. Why should I pay anything for this?
Right. And then when you go away, you say, what a deal I got. I really talked him down. Yeah. It's like we used to say in the real estate business, buyers are liars and sellers are yellers.
There is gold and abundance of costly stones, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take a man's garment when he has put up security for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he puts up security for foreigners.
Ah, the alternate translation, or for an adulteress.
An adulteress. Yeah, that's interesting.
So basically what this verse is saying is, look, if somebody puts up security for a stranger, hold him accountable for his actions.
Yeah.
And earlier in the Proverbs, we read that you shouldn't put up a cloak, you know, shouldn't foolishly vouch for somebody that you're not.
That you don't know.
That you don't know.
Yeah.
Because it's going to cost you. And
bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. Ooh. Plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance wage war. If only our world leaders followed that rule. Yeah. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. Alternate translation, with one who is simple in his lips.
Mm-hmm.
Loose lamps
sink ships. Yeah.
If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. Hmm. That's an interesting. If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. I think the best thing to do is, since you're really not sure what that means, don't curse your father or your mother.
Exactly.
An inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end.
Hmm.
Hmm.
That's a little trick. Gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end. Could be one that is obtained too easily.
That
will
could
not,
be.
Will not really be appreciated.
Hurriedly, Bahal is the word. It means to be anxious, to disturb, to make haste, to dismay, to terrify. Maybe you're making this hastily, as in perhaps illegally.
Mm.
Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you.
Mm-hmm. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Exactly. And here we go again. Unequal weights are an abomination to the Lord, and false scales are not good.
Mm-hmm.
Back up to verse 21. An inheritance gained hastily, possibly illegally.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord wants us to be fair with each other.
Right.
A man's steps are from the Lord, but then can man understand his way?
But then?
How then? Sorry, but. A man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way?
Yeah.
Yes, I was making a word that wasn't there. You know, sometimes my eyes just say, you know, maybe this other word would be good.
Would just fit better right there.
It is a snare to say rashly, it is holy, and to reflect only after making vows. Vows were a big deal.
Yeah, the story of Jephthah is one.
Yes.
I'll sacrifice the first thing that comes out of the door of my house, and it turns out it was his daughter.
Yeah. A wise king winnows the wicked and drives the wheel over them.
Hmm.
The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. The breath of the man, is the alternate translation, mm-hmm. is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. Steadfast love and faithfulness preserve the king, and by steadfast love his throne is upheld. The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair.
Ah, wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that we in our culture do not recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Blows that wound cleanse away evil. Paul could have written that.
Mm-hmm.
Strokes make clean the innermost parts.
Mm. Proverbs chapter 21. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. This is something that the Pharisees needed to be reminded of in Jesus' day.
Mm-hmm.
Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin. And
The plowing of the...
Hmm. Yeah, the Hebrew word could refer to either lamp or plowing.
Okay.
Yeah. Either way, if it's the lamp, maybe it's the light that lights their path. But if it's plowing, it's the type of work they do. But either way, it produces sin. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. Or, well, most of the Hebrew scholars say, Hebrew manuscripts rather, say, vapor for those who seek death. The violence of the wicked will sweep them away because they refuse to do what is just. The way of the guilty is crooked, but the conduct of the pure is upright. It is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife.
You know, I would say that that goes both ways, but because this is written by a man who had a whole bunch of wives.
The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no mercy in his eyes. When a scoffer is punished, the simple becomes wise. When a wise man is instructed, he gains knowledge. That's a theme that we see repeated. Mm-hmm. The righteous one observes the house of the wicked. He throws the wicked down to ruin.
Now, this righteous one, those words are capitalized.
Yeah.
I think this is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. At least, yeah, that's how the ESV translator saw it. The Hebrew expression said could refer to God or to just a righteous man, but throwing the wicked down to ruin does seem more like a punishment of eternal consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. A gift in secret averts anger, and a concealed bribe, strong wrath. Now, that seems a little counterintuitive. A gift in secret and a concealed bribe. I wonder if the word bribe...
Shechad is the word, and it means present, donation, reward...
Yeah.
Gift.
Yeah.
Especially one to free from punishment. A present or a gift to free from punishment.
Okay.
Or to corrupt a judge.
Okay. Now, the Hebrew word used as shokad there in the... Okay. Yeah, interestingly. Well, I mean, it's probably true. But when justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. Yeah. Special prosecutor? One who wanders from the way of good sense will rest in the assembly of the dead.
Ooh.
Oh, now I should have blue.
It's Rafa.
Rafa. Rest in the assembly of the Rephaim.
Kahal Rafa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's interesting because the assembly of the Rephaim has a different connotation in the Canaanite culture than it does here.
Well, one who wanders away from the good sense, from the way of good sense, fool, you're going to end up in hell. With a Rephaim.
Whom the Canaanites would call on to bless their newly crowned kings.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Totally different view of the Rephaim in Israelite culture and in Jewish, well, in Christian religion than there was back in the... for the Canaanites.
This is the opposite, you might say, of the divine assembly.
Exactly. Yeah.
The assembly of the Rephaim.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Verse 17, whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. The wicked is a ransom for the righteous.
Now, I want to stop you. Go back to 17. You want to read it one more time?
Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich.
Now, the interesting thing about this the idea of wine and oil, the implication is that wine and oil makes you rich if you can, you know, he who loves wine and oil. Now, you would think that this has to do with being a sluggard or a drunkard or whatever. Remember, hurt not.
The oil and the wine.
Yes.
Yes. Well, oil and wine were typically considered blessings from God.
Yes, they were. Wine represents the blood and oil represents the Holy Spirit, but there is a carnal version of that.
Right, yeah. Those who want to accumulate it just for the sake of having it rather than those who are blessed by it because they were industrious or blessed by God because of their generosity to others. Yeah, if you're looking to accumulate it just for the sake of being able to lord it over others.
I think there are lots of layers to that idea.
Right, but... yeah. And again, will not be rich, even if you've got a lot of wine and oil, you will not be rich in matters of the spirit, which is really
exactly
what's important. The wicked is a ransom for the righteous and the traitor for the upright. Verse 19, it is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. So you moved from the corner of the roof out to the middle of the desert. Not far enough. Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. That's an interesting verse.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be translated to a city of warriors, the wise ascends. In other words, wisdom. Like the pen is mightier than the sword. Wisdom is mightier than the sword.
And this is, I would say, spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Taking down strongholds.
Mm-hmm. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. The desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor.
It's busy in the dish. It can't even move it.
Yeah, I can't even get it to my mouth. All day long he craves and craves, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. And I think the he that they're referring to, well, yeah, it's just regardless of his own needs, the righteous is giving to others and trusting in God to provide.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with evil intent?
Hmm.
So going through the rituals doesn't matter if your heart is not right.
Right.
Yeah. A false witness will perish, but the word of a man who hears will endure. A wicked man puts on a bold face, but the upright gives thought to his ways. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 21:30. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord.
I'd say 30 and 31 go together.
Yeah.
Proverbs 22. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. Of course, favor with the Lord, that is what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all.
The great equalizer. Yeah.
The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it.
I would argue that this verse could be another justification for preparedness.
I was thinking the very same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. And that is eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
It also is the reward for humility is the fear of the Lord, riches and honor and life. That's the alternate translation. Verse 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the crooked. Whoever guards his soul will keep far from them. Watch who you hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Mark that one, Proverbs 22, verse 6.
Mm-hmm. Put that up in your house.
Mm-hmm.
The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. And
yes,
that is so true.
Yeah.
Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of his fury will fail. Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed. For he shares, or it says a good eye, for he shares his bread with the poor.
And we used to say that in baseball all the time when somebody was up there at bat and took a ball instead of, you know, a strike. Good eye, good eye.
Yeah.
That would, Okay, I retract
that. Honey, that's okay. You're still so excited about your Cubs. You just can't get over it.
Strike that one from the record.
And this is why we don't have the Proverbs of Derek and Sharon in the Old Testament. Drive out a scoffer, and strife will go out, and quarreling and abuse will cease.
Hmm.
That happens in, you know, stadiums too.
Yeah.
He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend.
Yeah, that and at Donald Trump rallies.
The eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, and he overthrows the words of the traitor.
Mm-hmm.
The sluggard says, "There is a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets. Then don't go outside.
That's his whole point. I can't go outside and work today. There's a lion out there. Yeah, there's lion going on in here too.
The mouth of forbidden women.
Strange
uh-huh. or probably has to do with harlots.
Adulteress, yeah.
Yep. The mouth of forbidden women is a deep pit. He with whom the Lord is angry will fall into it.
Mm.
You don't want to be there. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Don't be a fool. Grow up. Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty.
Yeah, maybe not in this life, but we're talking again about wealth where it matters in heaven.
Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips. In other words, read these and actually apply them to your life. That your trust may be in the Lord, I have made them known to you today, even to you. Have I not written for you 30 sayings of counsel and knowledge to make you know what is right and true, that you may give a true answer to those who sent you? Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Be not one of those who gives pledges, who put up security for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you?
Yeah.
Do not move the ancient landmark that your fathers have set. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men.
Mm.
Yeah.
That ancient landmark thing, that was a way to illegally obtain land, a way to cheat people.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's always been here.
Yeah. It seems to fit that hole that's over there. No.
You dug that hole. It fits this new hole really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Proverbs 23. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, observe carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you are given to appetite. And the word what could also be who is before you.
Yeah.
Put a knife to your throat. The phrase here, that phrase, put a knife to your throat, is a euphemism for exercising self-control.
Well, if you go on to 3, you'll see that's yes. continuation.
Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Or in Hebrew, the phrase is, whose eye is evil.
Yeah, there's a big difference between the two.
Yeah.
Well, being stingy, that's pretty evil.
But in the context, that may be what the euphemism means. Mm-hmm. Again, trying to read it from a 11th century BC mm-hmm. worldview.
Yeah.
Do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Do not desire his delicacies, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Or as he calculates in his soul, so is he.
Mm.
Eat and drink, he says to you. But his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the morsels that you have eaten and waste your pleasant words. These proverbs are a little longer. Many of them are just one verse long. These are,
these are
multiple
long
verses.
Thoughts,
right, yeah. Verse 9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. Do not move an ancient landmark or enter the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong. He will plead their cause against you. And Redeemer, capitalized, meaning
that's exactly. Another, and it's a reference, a callback to the book of Ruth, where we see the idea of a kinsman redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our Lord is.
Yes.
He's there to buy back what's been stolen from us.
Exactly right. Verse 12, apply your heart to instruction and your ear to words of knowledge. Do not withhold discipline from a child, for if you strike him with a rod, he will not die.
And
as seen elsewhere, it will drive folly from his heart. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. My inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right.
Kidneys. Which is where they thought the
Oh, yeah, my inmost heart, being was. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Inmost being, my kidneys will exult. My kidneys will exult when your heart lips speak what is right. And again, this just points back mm-hmm. to understand it in the context or from the perspective of those who wrote it. Mm-hmm. They would use euphemisms and phrases, figures of speech that we would not necessarily mm-hmm. understand, just as we use things that they wouldn't understand.
Sure.
Yeah. Out of left field. What the heck does that mean?
Which field
is the left one? Which one's the right one? Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards, or among gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth, and do not sell it. By wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. And what is the alternate translation? Or delight in my ways. For a prostitute is a deep pit, an adulteress is a narrow well. She lies in wait like a robber and increases the traitors among mankind.
Hmm.
Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who tarry long over wine. Those who go to try mixed wine. Do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast, or on top of the rigging. They struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. Interesting. You know, it's, I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but it is funny. And it's not really funny, but it seems funny when we read something like this. So we could say, well, yeah, I mean, 3,000 years ago, they could see what we can plainly see today. Mm-hmm. People who enjoy too much alcohol are just making problems for themselves
mm-hmm.
and do strange things because their eyes are their vision is clouded and their judgment is twisted. And, but again, humanity really hasn't changed all that
There's
much.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Amen. Yeah.
Proverbs 24, be not envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their hearts devise violence and their lips talk of trouble. By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance, you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the gate, he does not open his mouth. Whoever plans to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising or scheming of folly is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to mankind. You know, how many people just sit around and scoff today?
Well, it's made easier by the fact that all you have to do is type in 120 characters or less, 140 characters, and just send it out there.
Social media might be what Ms. Mel be called, you know, scoffer media in some cases.
Yeah.
If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. This is something that we are called to do
mm-hmm.
as believers.
Right.
We are to love others gospel, as right. we love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You would not want to be stumbling off to the slaughter. You would want somebody to say, guess what? That's an abattoir
yeah.
you're heading into. Oh, I thought you wanted a block of flats. If you say, behold, we did not know this, Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it?
Hmm.
Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Now again, salvation is not works-based.
Right.
But even if you are a believer, judgment seat of Christ, Paul talked about it in this morning's, you will be, well, rewarded.
According to your deeds.
According to your deeds.
Right.
My son, verse 13, my son, eat honey, for it is good. And the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such to your soul.
Hmm.
If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Those who are fools have no future.
Mm-hmm.
That's implied within that. Lie not in wait as a wicked man against the dwelling of the righteous. Do no violence to his home. If only the world realized the wisdom in those words, because
yeah,
we have a Redeemer who's coming to kick butt.
Amen.
For the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased, and turn away his anger from him.
Right. How often do we gloat when we see somebody who we dislike, or somebody that we feel has been unrighteous and deserving of God's judgment? Well, finally, he got what's coming to him. That's not the proper spirit.
No. We should, and again, we need to be, rather than doing our 160 character, you know, jibes on social media at this person or that person, whether he be on the left or the right, Democrat, Republican, whatever, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the neighbor is not necessarily someone who agrees with you.
Right. Because beyond that, Jesus said very, very specifically, love your enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For if you only love people who treat you well, what is, you know, how does that make you any better than the wicked?
I mean, yes.
Even the wicked like people who treat them nicely.
Mm-hmm. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased and turn away his anger from him. Mm-hmm. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, and be not envious of the wicked, for the evil man has no future, and the lamp of the wicked will be put out. My son, fear the Lord and the king, and do not join with those who do otherwise, for a disaster will arise suddenly from them, and who knows the ruin that will come from them both? These also are sayings of the wise. Partiality in judging is not good.
Hmm.
Whoever says to the wicked, you are in the right, will be cursed by peoples and abhorred by nations. But those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house.
Ah, okay. Because you got to have a means to provide for yourself and for your family before.
Yes.
Yeah. You
no, I'm going to build my house and I'm going to take out a loan.
Yeah.
And of course, that's what we all do because that's how our world is constructed.
Right, right.
Yep. Be not a witness against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive with your lips. Do not say, I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for what he has done. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was overgrown with thorns, the ground was covered with nettles, those are really pointy, evil weeds, and its stone wall was broken down.
Hmm.
Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man.
Yeah. Interesting instructions. A number of themes that we see repeated throughout the Proverbs: seeking knowledge, not rejecting correction.
He will not work.
Yeah. And cautions against slothfulness, laziness.
He who will not work does not eat.
Right. And also warnings for those who want to cut corners and achieve their wealth illegitimately a warning to young men, especially, to stay away from women who look good, but are you know, just a path, first step on the path to ruin.
So, you know, and also, when you choose your partner for this life, wife or, you know, husband,
mm-hmm.
ladies, when you choose your husbands, choose someone who is going to take care of you, who is going to make sure that he provides for you and who is seeking the Lord's wisdom at all times. Young man, when you're choosing your wife, try to pick someone who's going to be your partner in life and will not constantly be complaining because you haven't done this or that for her lately,
mm-hmm.
who will build you up and respect who you are. And if she's chosen well, then she should respect who you are. So both sides need to choose well. And, you know, it all boils down to the two commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Mind being that wisdom part.
Right.
And love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next week, we go back into the history in the Old Testament. We go back to 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles. So we get more into the actual reign of Solomon and some of the things that he is engaged or that he did.
And discovered why he talked so much about women.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he had lots of them. That was, you know,
he did.
Solomon, isn't there any other way we can, you know, establish diplomatic relations with our neighbors? No, no.
No, marry their daughters.
Yeah, got to marry a princess.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Okay, but they're bringing in all their gods. Well, yeah.
If it keeps him happy. Yeah. Yeah, for all of his wisdom, Solomon, even Solomon was not a perfect man by any stretch, and he was led astray. So anyway, we'll see some of that as we get back into the history of the Old Testament. Again, we are going through in chronological order, and you can read ahead on the schedule that we're pulling from. You can find the calendar and then the reading order for the New Testament and Old Testament studies at gilberthouse.org. Just look in the top menu bar there where it says calendar. A lot of good proverbs, and again, a lot of consistent themes or repeating themes that crop up from book to book or chapter to chapter, I should mm-hmm. say. It would be interesting to find, and I have no doubt that they're out there, studies that evaluate the themes and kind of break down and analyze the different themes presented in the Proverbs, instead of going through one by one. And, you know, maybe that's something we'll look at for the future.
Cause mm-hmm.
if we're doing this long enough, we'll just go back to Genesis 1:1 and start over again.
We will indeed.
Yeah. We'll probably get back to the New Testament, Matthew 1:1 before we get back to, Genesis. But, no, this is, a blessing. And it's interesting how often, even though these, studies are not intended to go side by side, the New Testament, Old Testament, how often we find synchronicities between them.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for bringing us together over your word this day. Lord, may we absorb the wisdom that is recorded in your word. May we live according to your word, even when doing so is inconvenient. Father, we pray for your for strength and comfort for those who are in need, physically, financially, spiritually. And Lord, we especially pray for those who are carrying the gospel to the ends of the earth, that you would guide them, protect them, and give them encouragement, Father, as they are seeking to serve you far from their homes and their families. Lord, we pray for your guidance. We pray for our nation as we approach this election, Father. We know that regardless of who takes office in January, that you are still supreme, that you are still Lord and sovereign. And Father, we just pray that however things develop, that you will guide us as followers of Jesus Christ to love others as we love ourselves, as you have instructed us, as you've called us. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. subscribe to our podcast feed, and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Public your